Welcome to Am I in the Wrong Room? A podcast exploring self-discovery, growth, joy, and the journey to your most authentic life. I'm Kimberly, your host and fairy godsister. Hey, welcome back. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about trauma bonds. So let's get into it. Hey, hey. I'm back. You're back. The dog is back on top of my feet while I record. If you're new here, welcome to the podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you learn something. Hope it either helps you. I'm saying hope a lot, aren't I? The goal is that I hope you can either help someone or help yourself from the things that we talk about. So how are you? So I'll admit, if you've binge listened or are keeping up weekly, these topics don't sound like living your best life, huh? The thing I've learned on this journey is you need to figure out where you have been, where you are, how you got there, and where you want to go. That said, today we're going to talk about trauma bonds. I want to add in the importance of talking about trauma bonds. So I've gotten the chance to connect with some new people who have been checking out the podcast. I've gotten to connect with some old friends that I lost touch with, and I haven't been able to cultivate those relationships the way I would have wished I could have. And I think that as I'm updating people on what's been going on in my life and letting them know, like, yes, I only tried to show you the happy side. Yes, I tried to make it seem like things were all good in the hood. This is really what was going on. And I realized that when myself or other people have to tell someone they've been in an abusive relationship, or you have a loved one who you've lost to domestic violence, it's really hard to understand why they didn't just leave. So I hope that you can bear with me as we break down and really go through these topics, because I'm hoping that it will save someone else's life or empower another person to save a life, or just to bring peace to some who have already lost someone they cared so much about. I didn't know what a trauma bond was. I didn't know. That's why I could see what my ex was doing and why I couldn't choose myself. My best friend, well, one of them, the other is a psychology type, didn't know what a trauma bond was and why I was so attached and connected despite the numerous conversations we would have. How I could tell her how bad it was one day and then sing praises from the mountaintop on another day. And from healing and doing the show with me, she's learning all of the things that were issues that she couldn't understand. I understand that you sometimes will look at a person in your life and you feel like they're so strong or well put together that they can use their discernment to read a situation and just impart wisdom, or they're so loving or so kind, and this just makes no sense to you. So I hope that this episode helps to shine a little bit more light for anyone who is in a relationship with a narcissist or even a toxic relationship. Because I had another friend point out, she feels as though her ex-husband and the relationship that she had with him was toxic. But in her case, it wasn't abusive. And that's true. You can be in a toxic relationship and it doesn't have to be abusive. But if you are in an abusive relationship, it is most definitely toxic. So if you find yourself in a relationship like this, or trying desperately to stay away from your ex or to stay out of a relationship like this, maybe you don't know that you're trauma bonded. Maybe you don't know that your loved one is trauma bonded. I didn't know that I was trauma bonded. Abuse does not work without good times. Let me repeat that for you. Abuse does not work without good times. And that's why you can be down and out one day and singing praises on top of a mountain the next. An antisocial or narcissist type personality unknowingly and likely knowingly uses intermittent rewards and punishments to foster and initiate a trauma bond. Trauma bonds hook the non-narcissistic personality into a relationship that creates a cycle involving your mental and chemical body reactions, essentially forming an addiction. The important thing to note is that it's premeditated. They're doing this and they have premeditated doing this to you. In the middle of a fight and them being extremely cruel to you, that moment where they seem to wake up and realize what they're doing and they gaslight you into apologizing while offering you a piss poor apology is premeditated. It's premeditated. And I'm repeating that word because it's the word my therapist said that sunk in as I realized I had to go no contact. I hope this isn't too far over some heads, but do you remember if you took a psychology class learning about Ivan Pavlov and his dogs? Now, we're not going to go into if the experiment was good or not or if it's been debunked. The point is, essentially, he trained the dogs to react to a bell using food as the stimulus. After a while, he would ring the bell and there was no food. And the dogs' reactions remained exactly the same. They continued to salivate, thinking that when they heard the sound of the bell, they were going to get food. You can use that story to understand how a trauma bond is formed. It's definitely a form of Stockholm syndrome. These people will find you and love bomb you. They will pretend and mirror your own emotions back to you until you are securely in that relationship. It's premeditated. So it's not that you just fell for them. They led you to believe that this was real and you have finally found your person. It was premeditated and intentional. Then the first punishment happens. The length of time that lasts is based on their assessment of you, of what they already know about you. And the cycles of abuse begin, but they are not as vicious and cruel as they will be when they either discard you, you leave and go no contact, you divorce them, or the saddest reality of all, you die. This is more than just someone getting into your head. This bond is powerful and very resistant to change. Remember the last episode, I said, if you're finding yourself in a situation like this or you were in it, I am not necessarily telling you to leave. And I understand how crazy that sounds. I told you to start therapy. Start educating yourself. A book my therapist recommended to me was Disarming the Narcissist. So read that. The abusive incidents end as quickly as they start. They will reduce you to panic and crying and then almost immediately comfort you, and I use that with loose quotations, or begin to teach you that they are the only ones who can fix it. Their actions flood your brain with feel-good things like dopamine and serotonin, bonding yourself to the cycle. You think you are bonded to them, but you're bonded to the cycle. They have now done anything necessary to recover the situation. And in my experience, there was a lot of past blaming exes, past experiences, and sometimes some apologizing. Occasionally, I got an I'm sorry, but at the same time, I was told how it was my fault and my behavior needed to change because it led to this outburst. Subtly blaming me for this happening and teaching me to begin to apologize for something I didn't even do. Then there is initially a long period of peace before this happens again. That's so that your defenses are down. So you think it's a one-off, so that you choose to try harder because you think that this person needs you and you know you're not perfect. So you try to extend some grace. If you are a former people pleaser like I was, the cycles get closer together and more intense. Slowly, your behavior changes so that you can avoid these abuse outbursts from happening. You learn to blame all of your small behaviors for the incidents. So you do less. The thing is, you're becoming conditioned to learn this behavior. Most of the time, everything they are doing is behavior that you never would have accepted without this intermittent abuse and recovery. They are habitual line steppers. There will come a point of such intense and complete chaos that you stop paying attention to some behavior to deal with the escalating abuse that is happening. This is a psychological game. It's not a game of smarts. This can happen to really smart people. This can happen to really loving people. Smart and loving people are often a target because you are willing to look at a situation and try to figure out how to fix it. You will look at a situation, you will try to partner with a person, and you will learn to, over time, adjust some of your behaviors to fix it. But this really happens to codependent folks. Also used to be me. It happens to people pleasers, who also used to be me. It happens to those with unresolved childhood trauma, those with issues and negative events that are unresolved. I fit all of those categories. I had abandonment issues I didn't even know the source of before 4 years ago. My stepdad and godmother both died the year before I met my ex. I was the brokenhearted girl. My mental space was really not that great. And because I didn't pursue the investment in myself, aka therapy, I allowed myself to stay so much longer than I should have, that the trauma bonds I had with him, my ex, were damn near unbreakable. Looking back, I can now see how he tested me from the first date. I didn't know it then. And some things I outright ignored, mostly because I didn't know their impact. I didn't know about ghosting. I just learned what catfishing was. I was really the perfect target. And then you remember the loving and wonderful person you initially met. So you go looking for that because you are a person who looks for the best in people. You understand that life has been tough. Your life has been tough. No harm, no foul. You really think that they are doing the work to heal because, honestly, that is part of a relationship. There is always self-work to do, and the right partner can be the fertilizer to that work. But this is not that. And you may not know that. You've only had so many experiences in life. You don't know that this was all premeditated manipulation. They start to remind you of the times that you were wrong and how you aren't always perfect. Fine, that's true. I remember my ex used to tell me the way in which I spoke, the way in which I used language, the way in which you're listening to me speak right now was condescending. And I spoke down to people and I made them feel as though they weren't really valuable. So I started to change the way I spoke. But there's a difference between not being perfect and someone planning to manipulate another person in order to feed off of them. This person cannot love you. They do not love you. They love what you do and they love what they get. My ex had learned to say, "I love you more." The next part is all of the behavior of a narcissist victim is a survival response. And we, survivors or victims or whatever you think to call us at this moment, really like to think that our particular toxic person can heal with the right love, support, and environment. We've heard so many stories of them crying about how everyone abandoned them. And if you have abandonment issues, well, that's just asking for an unnecessary attachment. We don't even realize our brain has kicked into protection and our mental and emotional behaviors have now become a method of survival. A very dangerous situation. And the harder you try and the more it fails, because there is no upside, the more our self-esteem drops. So many things can result in lower self-esteem. I struggle with it. I have ADHD, and any adult who knows that they have it can tell you it's a struggle. You've had nothing but negativity wrapped in frustration and disguised as motivation said to you your whole life. Then I was made fun of for being fat. Now, I've come to realize either A, I'm not fat, or B, even if I am, it makes absolutely no difference. We are not about to go through everything. But the point is that just these few things that I'm sharing were factors that made me more susceptible to what happened. An abusive relationship lowers that self-esteem even more. So no matter how deeply unhappy you are or where you become of what's wrong, you are in this trauma bond. So leaving feels like pain. Staying feels like pain. Everything is pain. So where do you go? What do you try to do? Water your grass. Slowly, the belief that this is what you deserve rings endlessly through your head. you don't deserve better. And now you see what you are. So how could you possibly find better? And the longer you stay, the further into this pit you descend. Also, the narc has what are called flying monkeys. These are family, friends, or just other people that they have somehow recruited to help reinforce the abuse. They help the narcissist condition the behavior that they have taught you. They help the narcissist exert control over you in your life. Or their own issues are so apparent that they help you think that this is what normal life is, even if they're not directly endorsing the abuse. That it's your choice. You know exactly what's going on and all of those types of things. There is no family that doesn't know what their family member is. And usually they're happy that you're around to take the narcissist off their hands. Sick people don't always come from sick families, and sick families don't always produce other sick people. However, most people know what their family members are. They will defend you in your face and say that this person knows better. It's a part of the game. And slowly they will start to use you as well, because it's a part of the game. The more hurt you experience with this person increases the trauma bond attachment. They are harder to break and even harder to live with. You were chosen because of your drive to fix things, to not give up, to try harder when things get rough, to look for solutions. You were targeted. If you start to break free, they'll revert back to courting you or pretend to move forward with the relationship. Ask your parents for permission to marry you. Start looking for a house with you. Start family planning and a location to live in to have kids. Whatever it takes to get you to stay. You are a supply. You are a means to live off of. Even though they claim to want to live on their own or tell you that you control them, notice they don't leave. And when they do, it's very short-lived, like hours short-lived. When you reach back out, the trauma bond gets stronger. You've now learned the person making you feel terrible is also the person that can make you feel better. You're holding on to your own hope, likely still unaware that this is premeditated. To be honest, you need a therapist. You need someone who will stare you in your face, unmoved, and tell you that this is enough and craft a plan with you to go. Or you need to see them react to understand that you have to leave now. You need to see them hide their feelings, because generally your therapist is the cool-headed person in the room, and see that this is too much even for them now. You need to see the last person on your side tell you no. Recently, I read this story about a young woman who, to be honest, I don't know what part of the country in the U.S., I don't know what part of the country she lived in. She made a plan and she took herself and her dog and moved across the country. Only her parents knew. No one else knew where she went. She deleted all evidence of herself. She was just gone. That is no contact. And sometimes you won't have to be that extreme, but sometimes you will. I would not be at this point in my life without my therapy team. And that's not to diminish the role of my mom, my friends, or my family, but it's a fact. You need people who can determine the levels of help and intervention that are necessary and guide you back to stability. Going no contact is not the same as the silent treatment that the narc has subjected you to. They did it to enforce a specific feeling and behavior in you. In no contact, you are no longer allowing access to your life. You are no longer accessing their life in order to save your own. No contact is permanent. There is no intention of punishment. There is only the intention of your own life. There is only the intention of your own healing. There is only the intention of your own healing. I know you don't want to go. That's fine. Continue on going. I know you think this is a bad idea. Go. I know you feel guilty. Go. I know you feel like you just need to let them know why. They already know why. Go. Now, if you have kids together, this is so much harder. And because I don't have any experience in that area, I can't give you very concrete advice. And that's why I say you need a professional. I'm just here for support and to make you feel more normal. Now, I am not normalizing being in an abusive relationship, but I understand how out of body and out of place you feel So I want to normalize the feelings that you have and encourage you to keep going, because you will find your whole self again. You feel abnormal as heck. And don't. Because when you can find some level of normalcy again, you can also find the light back to yourself. And not the self that got into this relationship. The self that has always wanted to exist. Learn about the character traits of a narcissist or the personality disorder you were dealing with. This will help you not to go back. Share it with your personal village so they can understand what you have experienced. It will make connecting with them easier. It will help everyone support you. It will help your best friends. It's helped my best friends understand why I will say things that will occasionally make them upset, but they'll be able to know why I'm saying it, and they'll look for the healthy behaviors despite the feelings that you have. I've had to admit some things to my friends that I felt like was betrayal to everything that's gone on and all the support that they've given me. But then I could say, even though I feel like this, I know I'm not going to make contact. I know I'm not going to do this. I know I'm not going to do that. I haven't acted on it. I'm just telling you because it's there. By me sharing so much with them, I could acknowledge that what I was saying would make them upset, but it also helped them to support me in continuing on with what I was trying to do, which was be my whole self again. It's when they are thankful for the shutdown, the COVID shutdown that's happened, because as terrible as it's been, it's also what led to my freedom. It's to also understand that there are feelings that will exist in your duality with the feelings that should exist. It will help them understand that you have to choose between two realities every single day and celebrate with you for choosing the real reality. Learning about the narcissist will help you understand how you got here and how you can avoid going back. And the worst, or maybe the best part, is now you will see narcissists everywhere. The men, the women, all of them. You will see the same simple behaviors you ignored, because we all have them, like fear and insecurity, on full display, and how certain people use them to try to control others. And you will see a difference between having these feelings and weaponizing them. Start planning your future. Do all the things you've ever wanted to do, even slightly. Change careers. Try out hobbies. Join a group, club, or sorority, fraternity. Do all the things. You're so, so loved. And you're bigger than this. I know what it feels like to think if I stay, I'm in pain, and if I leave, I'm in the same amount of pain, but you're not going to be in the same amount of pain. Love being yourself.